church. Thank you, guys. You know, I like communion time for some testimonies, what God is doing in lives. And, you know, when you're in the body of Christ, you can kind of tell where the Spirit is leading and guiding and working in a heart and a life. And I've asked Sherry to come forward. Sherry, come on up. I just noticed something was happening in Sherry's life. You can't help it when the Spirit of God's working. But Sherry, tell us what has been happening. This has to be fairly short, okay. But tell us kind of what's been going on, what's been changing your life.
For those of you who know me, let's go from the very beginning, just real quick. I was a drug addict, but God brought me here, and I've been with you 20 plus years. Amen. Okay. That's a long time to know God, but I want you to know I just knew and learned about God October 2011 at a Woman of Faith meeting. I want to tell you, Randy, this is my daughter up here in the front, that I love you and thank you for putting me there, for me to realize that I was not walking like I should have walked. And I want to thank my son-in-law for his love and giving me the opportunity that I listened to what he said. I was hurting my kids. So I've only been walking with God for 6 months, but I've been in this church for 20 plus years I've been walking with God. You see me come down here and sit in this pew every weekend. Doesn't mean my heart wasn't there, but I wasn't walking right. I would condemn my own son-in-law. I'd see him and I'd say, "Are you still smoking? Son, are you still smoking? That's not my business. That's God's business. That's not mine. That is God's." And for those of you who have offended me at any time in this church, I want you to know that I pray for you and I forgive you and I love you all. So walking 6 months with God, this is what he's done for me. I stand for my God. I believe in my God. And I know he has something special for me. I don't know what that is. But I promise you that if I stepped out today and it was the last breath I took, that I am at peace and the Lord has all of me.
It's unexpected grace. When you experience God's grace and it's unexpected, undeserved, it changes everything. It changes your life completely. You know, when I saw Sherry, and you can tell when the Spirit of God is working. And by the way, we meet for prayer the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday, and Sherry came in there, and I kind of knew something was going on, but anyway, praise God, what is God is doing in your family. And the fruit, when God's Spirit is working completely in your life, the fruit of the family is going to be awesome and amazing. But unexpected grace, man, I tell you, when it comes, it's unexpected, it's undeserved. And that's why it's grace. We don't expect it. We don't deserve it. You know, and most of us here don't deserve God's grace. All of us. I was telling you how my father passed almost 3 weeks ago now. And by a miracle, God got my brother from Hawaii and me down there. We flew into Las Vegas and we got there. And my dad, you know how people kind of stay alive, just hang in there knowing that you're coming. And my dad we had about an hour and 15 minutes with my father before he passed. And it was an emotion. Some of you have been there, and it's an amazing moment. When you see people die, you're holding their hand, and it's an incredible moment. But the whole thing, as I saw what was happening, I realized what was taking place. I did not expect, and this might sound a little harsh, I did not expect God's grace to be poured out on my father in the last moments of his life. I mean, there he was. He's got Parkinson's. He really wasn't suffering. There was discomfort, obviously. But family, you know, nobody should die alone, and family was around him. My brother and I, we were telling him we loved him and all those things. And just a powerful moment, but I'm telling you, I felt the presence of God in the room. I was talking to one of my prayer partners. She said it's a spiritual experience. And it was. It was just an amazing. I could feel God's presence in the room. And when he passed, it was amazing. And my dad died on the day we celebrate the resurrection. Now, see, to really fully understand this, my dad was a preacher for 38 years. My dad was a top baptizer in our church, Anglo, for many years. One series of meetings, he baptized over 1,000 people in 7 weeks in Miami. My dad was powerful, incredibly charismatic. I'd go to crowds of 5,000 people before there was ever mega churches. God bless, I saw him baptize thousands, literally hundreds, and he baptized just hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of people. But there's a lot of water, and I'm not going to go into the details, a lot of water on the bridge and everything that's happened, but we did not have a relationship. You've heard that. Really, there was no relationship, 38 years, and finally we moved to Colorado and we had that connection. But God, we began to have this relationship again at the end of his life, and it's amazing when you realize, when you start crying for somebody, when you see somebody in pain, and you see people suffering, and you start to cry for them, you know your heart is right, and you know you've forgiven. And I tell you, I had those moments, and it's powerful. But I'm telling you, I did not expect, and that's an amazing thing, I did not expect God's grace. I thought he was undeserving of God's grace. His life, if I told you the details, there's a lot of bad in my father than in his life. If I told you the details, but I didn't expect it, but I saw God's grace being poured out on my father. And it just hit me. I just said to myself, God, are you really that good? Is your grace really that deep and awesome and amazing? Is it possible that, God, you can take this person and save even my father? That was an instrument to bring hundreds and thousands to Jesus Christ. See, too many times we become a judge and we kind of fruit inspect, and we fruit inspect, like Cher was talking about, are you smoking, are you doing this, whatever, and we're fruit inspecting, oh, they're not right with God, they're not close with God, and we almost become this prideful, you know, person, and we judge and we criticize, and we don't understand the heart of God. And I'm so thankful he's judge, aren't you? I'm so thankful that our God of grace, that poured out his grace on us, is going to come back, and he's going to save people. And I believe that even my father can be in the kingdom of God because of his grace. Focus on the Family tells a story of grace. His name was Tim Goldlein, and he was a special assistant for President George W. Bush. He was a Christian, and he's working with the faith-based groups. And he says this, the capacity of self-deception is very large. We just heard that from Pastor Ron last weekend. But he says he learned it firsthand in his life. He tells how his heart began to be filled with pride. And he worked two campaigns with George W. Bush, the President of the United States. He was in the White House. He was there with the President. And so pride began to fill his heart. And he actually wrote a column. He had a column in the local newspaper. And he didn't write about politics, but he wrote about, you know, special interests, books, sports, and different things, philosophy, and so on. And he had a big following, but something began to happen. He began to plagiarize some of his articles. And as he's plagiarizing, you know, all those things, he said it's like any sin. It starts small, or just a small, and then it got bigger and bigger until one day he gets this phone call that changed his life, and a reporter was on the line. He says, did you plagiarize this? He was point blank. He got off the phone, he knelt down, and he got up, and he emailed the reporter and says, yes, I plagiarized. And he knew his life was going to be over, at least the way he was living his life. He knew at that moment that his life and his world would crumble. At the end of the day, it just happens to be Friday, at the end of the day, he finishes work, he goes home, And he goes home and tells his wife and his children what he had done. He says he goes back to the bedroom and he is just, his physically collapses in his bedroom. And he realized everything he's worked for, everything is going to be gone in a moment because of what he has done. That was Friday. On Monday morning, he goes back to the White House. And he receives a call from the chief of staff, Josh Bolton, to come down to his office. And he walks in his office. And he expects, you know, he calls it the woodshed moments. Like he's going to let him have it, what an idiot he is. But in a calm voice, he says, "How you doing? How's your family? How's your wife, your kids?" On the way out, he says, "By the way, the boss wants to see you." And he expected to go in there and really hit the woodshed. And he was, and the president, George W. Bush, is going to tell him off, and it's just going to be awful. And he goes in there, and he walks in there, and he says, "Mr. President, I owe you." And before he could get it out of his mouth, George W. Bush says, "Tim, I forgive you." The second time, he says, "Mr. President, I owe you." Before he could get out of his mouth, he says, "Tim, I've known grace and mercy in my life, and I'm extending it to you. Mr. President, I owe you a category apology. You should take me out by the lapel and throw me out on Pennsylvania Avenue. Tim, I'll say it again. I forgive you. You're forgiven." Then President Bush said, "Come spend a few moments with me. Let's talk about the last eight years, all we've done in the last 8 years." Tim gets up and goes over to the regular couches, and the president brings them over to, there's two chairs there by the picture of George Washington before the fireplace. You've seen it on film, but he goes, and that's a place where, you know, just the vice president and the heads of state sit, and he brings them over as his guest of honor, and they talk for 20 minutes together about the hot, hard-fought elections and how they worked together in the good times. George W. Bush prayed for him, gave him a hug. And as he was leaving, he says, "By the way, please bring your wife and your sons back to the White House, because I want to tell them what a great man, a great husband and father that you are." When I hear that story, see, grace is unexpected. We don't deserve it. Tim did not experience, he did not deserve grace, did he? And you know, I thought about his life, and I thought about my father, and I think about me. I don't deserve grace, and neither do you. No matter what you've done, what we've done, no matter how far we've fallen, no matter how undeserving we may be this morning, God's grace is there for you, and he's extending that grace to you. See, that's what communion is all about. It's a special type to remember what a precious Savior that we serve. That it's all about a God of amazing grace. And through these two simple symbols of the grape juice representing his pure blood, and the bread representing his body and his broken body, through those two symbols, they are a constant reminder of a God that keeps extending grace over and over again to us. The Bible says that Jesus, after he washed his disciples' feet, that he sat down and he took the grape juice and he took the bread and he gave it to his disciples. And he told his disciples, he says, "Pass it around. Pass it around. Share it," in other words. And I'm going to have my deacons stand right now. If you'll stand, the deacons that are going to participate, just come on over. I'm going to have Pastor Scott come up. And I'm going to have Dr. Chin come up as well. See, these two symbols, they represent grace to us. We don't deserve it. And yet through the bread and the grape juice, they represent Jesus to us, and they represent life. We're going to pass this around. And as they pass this around, as you take these emblems today, I want you to be thinking about how God has poured out his grace on you. How you don't deserve it because of the sin and the things in your life that you've done. I want you to just imagine this is a gift. This is like Christ being given to you. I'm going to go ahead. You guys can go ahead and start passing those around. But I just want you to imagine, you can be seated there for a sec. I want you to imagine that these emblems are like Jesus and he's extending grace, his gift of salvation to you. Because that's what they symbolize. And that's what they represent. I want you to, we're just going to do this a cappella. But let's just sing Amazing Grace together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. I've asked another, Ron, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Ron, you know there's different ways that God extends grace to us, isn't there? One of our elders, Ron, actually Cindy's an elder too, and they had a special vacation. Come on over, Ron. And we're going to share, you know, he was on the phone with me. I said, you got to share some of this because God, sometimes it's just the little things, the little everyday things that we experience grace. And sometimes it's even we're on vacation. Where'd you go for vacation?
We were in New York City. And
you had a good time. You were there for a week or something?
Yeah, we were there for a week. And almost a week. But it... besides being a phenomenal vacation, there was one day in particular that we just felt the presence of God, and we always ask God to travel with us when we travel. And one of the things that I have always wanted to do is, when I was young, I had a great grandmother who was very, very special to me, and she passed away when I was six, but I remember her, very fondly. So one day, I wanted to go out to Ellis Island because I knew she had come over from Germany at some point, and I didn't know when, and I just wanted to check it all out. So we we left our hotel, and because there were five of us, even though there's 14,000 taxis in New York City, it's very hard to find one that'll take five people. We decided we were going to take the subway. And just so you know, contrary to the images and stuff that you hear and see on TV, the subway is very clean and the people are very normal and nice and such. So we headed out the subway to get down to the point where you can catch the ferry out to Ellis Island. And as we're traveling down the subway line, all of a sudden we hear the announcement that sounded sort of like this. And the subway stops and everybody gets off. Well, it turned out there was a subway train ahead that was, I don't know if it was derailed, but anyways, wasn't working. So we get off this subway, and we don't quite know where we're at because we're underground in Manhattan. And there aren't very many maps in Manhattan in the subways that tell you how to get from place to place. You kind of seem to have to know what you're doing. So we get off the subway, and a little old lady from Italy comes up to us and says, "Can you help me? I'm from Italy. I don't know where to go." And of course, we can't help her. And Cindy said, "Stick with us. We'll figure something out." Long story short, we don't know where we're at. We don't know how to get to where we need to be. Cindy's standing on the edge of the platform, and this subway train comes along, slows down right where Cindy is, and the engineer opens the window and says, "You need to go up their stairs over here, cross to the Q line, take the N line, and then that will take you to West Hall where you're going." And Cindy looked at him and said, "How do you know where I'm going?" He said, "I've been at this a long time." So we did what he said, got on the train, and we ended up getting to where we needed to be. And I believe that God's grace was shared with us to get us where we needed to be. To continue the story very quickly, we get over to Ellis Island, and we're in the lobby, and a man is kind of staring at us. And he walks up to us, and he says, "Are you from Northern California?" And we said, "Yes." And he said, "Are you from the Lodi area?" And we said, "Yes." And he introduced himself, and it was Pete, and I hope I say this right, Fackenthal, who is married to Faith Bunch's niece and is the principal at PUC Prep. So we talked for a little bit. And what was most amazing about that day is when I got to the research center and I researched my great-grandmother, and we pulled up her documents, and I was, excuse me, I was looking at the answers that she had written to the questions and her signature. I looked at the date, and it was April 22nd that we were there. I'm sorry, April 23rd. And as I looked at the date, she had come over on April 22nd of 1912. And it hit me that I was standing in the place where my grandmother was almost 100 years to the day when she was 11 years old. And we just felt God with us that day, and that was the grace that we experienced.
Isn't God amazing? It's little things like that, that God every day constantly is extending grace to us. I'm going to have, come forward. The bread represents life. It's Christ's life that we need. It represents us what we really need. Christ is all we really need. He sustains us. He keeps us going. And he loves us. And so, let me just go ahead and take seated. I found out that this is the only thing in my life that really satisfies. It represents Jesus, the person of Christ. And, and if you think about this, when you eat this, it becomes part of every detail, every part of you. And Jesus wants to live in you and become part of you. As you partake of grace, his life, experience God's grace in a new way. I've asked George to have the blessing on the bread. The Bible talks about that Jesus, they took the bread and Jesus blessed it. So I've asked George to pray over the bread.
Oh, righteous Father, merciful Father, loving Father, thank you so much that you gave your Son that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. We have come to celebrate the wonderful revelation of your love to humanity. As Isaiah said, for we will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Our soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with his robe of righteousness. By partaking of this bread, Father, we are signifying, we are demonstrating that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came into this world, that his body was broken for us, that we might have life eternal. And so we partake of this bread that symbolizes Jesus and his life, which was given a ransom for many. Thank you, Father, for this emblem. Thank you for this opportunity to stop in the middle of our life to just celebrate the wonderful salvation. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The cup as the bread is a reminder of our precious Savior. It's a reminder again that we can't live without the blood, without Jesus. You know, there's no blood, there's no life, right? And so Jesus gives us life, but not just life here, but eternal life. So as we drink the cup today, let's again experience the grace that's undeserved, but yet he's poured out on our lives today. I've asked Pastor Scott to have a blessing on the grape juice.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the sacrifice made on our behalf. And Lord, I thank you for the symbol of this unfermented, pure juice of the vine, not corrupted in any way. And Lord, as we partake of this symbol, I pray that it will remind us of your sacrifice, and I pray that it will remind us of the Holy Spirit, that as we drink this juice and as it nourishes our bodies and becomes a part of it, that it's the same way that your Holy Spirit wants to nourish and draw us close to you and strengthen us spiritually. Lord, we ask for your blessing. In the worthy name of Jesus, amen.
This is the blood of the new covenant. This is life. Drink all of it. The symbols today of the foot washing, the grape juice, the bread, is all symbols of God's grace to you, to me. And he's extending that grace to you today. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know the struggles in your life, but I know there's a struggle because we all struggle because life is a struggle. But some of you today, you need a new beginning, a new start. Maybe you need to re-surrender your life, or maybe for the first time. Maybe we need to have an experience, you know, 20 years, and yet really just recently surrendering all to Christ. We're going to play a song. Your grace still amazes me. And that, as that song is being played, what does God want to do in your life? What do you need? Is your time with God, your devotional life, weak? Bring it to God today. Whatever it is, we just come forward and fill this up. If you want to come forward, you can sit where you are. But I want you to, again, hear the voice of the Spirit of God. I want you to hear God's voice speaking to you. He's extending grace to you right now. Let's pray.
Stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. Your grace still amazes me.
Father, we are so undeserving of your grace. We can get on our knees and come to church and we can pretend like we're a little better than somebody else, but Lord, we all know our hearts and we're all undeserving, but Lord, today again, we're reminded that you are a God that continually pours out grace in our lives in every detail, in every way in our lives, Lord. And today we're saying thank you. And Lord, the way we're saying thank you back to you is we just want to give you our lives again. May we truly follow you in your footsteps, Lord, and extend grace to our brothers and sisters here in our community and also out there in Lodi. Lord, thank you for grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to take there's a courtesy offering on the way out. It's to help with people in need of our church. The deacons will be at the door if you'd like to give to help with that offering. Have a wonderful Sabbath.